Drs. Michelini, Blasi, and Amassari that we can move on to the Q&A session. So, waiting for questions to come in. Silvia, let me go back to what you just said. Let me take this opportunity to ask you one question about what you were saying when the connection broke. The FeeCompass report on Italy includes a number of recommendations concerning financial instruments. How important is it for the European Commission that those recommendations are taken into consideration, and up to what extent? Well, Bruno, the recommendations which have emerged in the framework of the study are extremely important, and they have been taken into consideration when the Commission drafted the recommendations for Italy, the global recommendations for the national strategic plans. I would like to open an aside on this, because these recommendations adopted by Italy for all member states, including Italy, are an element contributing data and facts, and are based also on this study, as well as on other data and other studies too. So there is a basis for these recommendations, highlighting facts and data. And that's very important, because I also think that there's a common ground there with what the Italian authorities have come up with. So based on evidence, we count on the fact that these recommendations may be useful and within the framework of the national strategic plan developed by Italy, we think it is important to outline the necessary interventions which may actually help when it comes to financial instruments as well. Now, what I can say is that there is indeed a regulation which will be adopted, which envisages a number of criteria on which the Commission will base itself for analyzing the national strategic plans. So these considerations are not part of the legal framework, but it's going to be an important element that which the Commission will take into consideration for its assessment. But as I said, since the foundations are facts, evidence, and these are shared, I think we have a common ground to work together.
Very clear, Silvia. Thank you very much. Dr. Blasi, at last, you are back. Can you tell us something about what is currently going on in order to prepare the future national strategic plan? Yes, thank you. First of all, I'd like to reassure you that we have worked quite a lot in terms of preparation. And as I said before, our aim was to start to seek the involvement of all the partnerships with the participation of the various institutions at the National Partnership Table, which is a place, so to speak, in which we can discuss also with the participation of politicians, so that there is the maximum possible involvement by ministries, the Minister for Agricultural Policies, or those who are involved in rural development, for instance, the relationship between the strategic plan and the national plan for recovery and resilience. There is a very close link between these two elements. The common agricultural policy plays a very important role. The national recovery plan is aimed at implementing those measures which are needed in order to overcome the current emergency. And so we considered all of this as a list of the priorities, which are very closely related with the priorities laid out in the strategic plan. Of course, we had to stop also because we wanted to do things in the right way. We know that the political authorities at the moment have, unfortunately, other things to do in Italy. We have a government crisis in Italy. And the first thing we will do will be the organization of this table, partnership table, I mentioned before. And we're going to do this by seeking the involvement of a series of subjects which normally are not actually asked to intervene. in the future, agricultural policy will have broader targets than in the past. And this is why we are doing this now. Suffice it to mention all the topics that have to do with the green transition, the Green Deal, the farm to fork strategy, all elements which are an integral part of the recommendation we've all received. We very much appreciated the balanced approach of this document with the various recommendations. And as a matter of fact, I have to say that at the beginning we criticized this during the preparatory stage within the Council, because we thought that the Commission would use this tool to be more invasive, so to speak. I don't want to start a discussion on this, but I think you understand what I mean. On the contrary, I have to say that, first of all, it has been possible to stress the importance of the preparatory work through an analysis that we have been making, we have been doing over the past 2 years in terms of ex-ante assessment. And so we're very happy the Commission has considered this. And also, second thing, we have also perceived the right balance between the indications contained in the plan with the set of indications about the path to follow, leaving us the opportunity and the possibility to decide the measures at the national level, which is a substantial and very important element for us, considering that Italy is a country with region-based programming. So the regional governments need the necessary space, because according to our constitution, they have primary involvement when it comes to agricultural policies. This is an element that we'll have to consider in the trilogues. We need to strike a balance between the national management authority of the strategic plan on the one hand and the role of the regional authorities that will be given the responsibility of planning. So at the moment, this is not very clear because we have two different versions. The Council has established what the balance is. The Parliament has a slightly different view, and so there is a lack of sharing when it comes to the solution, if you see what I mean. So this means that at the moment we are not in the perfect situation. The choice has not been made yet, and we are not yet operational when it comes to the relationship with the regional governments. I hope we can find a solution, the sooner the better, because this would put us in the right condition in order to quickly draft the document that the Commission is expecting from us. The mic is off. The mic is off. Bruno's mic is off. Now he's on again. Thank you very much. There is a question now, I think it is for you again, from the Abruzzo region. If we want to introduce a measure on financial instruments right now, how can we guarantee continuity with this strategic plan that will be implemented soon, considering that the EU regulations are still currently being defined? Maybe Silvia might answer this after Mr. Blasi. So Mr. Blasi first, I think this question is for you. Yes, as I said before, I didn't dwell on this because of the problems of time. I just gave you a brief overview of the initiatives promoted over the past two programming stages, which, as I said before, did not give very good results. On the contrary, something that is very much appreciated by both the banking world and the farming enterprises is the tool launched by Cassa Depositi e Prestiti. It's a revolving fund. It's a financial instrument which allows the banking system, and Cassa Depositi e Prestiti is a fundamental element of the banking system at the national level. Given the way in which it works, this tool makes it possible to strike a balance between the public administration on the one hand. The public administration has to choose whether a credit line is in line with the programming, the general programming. There's always been this difference between the choice of the investment that has to be included within the framework of the right programming phase, So the investment must be efficient and effective in order to achieve the targets considering the planning phase. Now, the banking world thinks about something completely different. The banking world needs to see whether that investment is such that the firm can repay. So whether it is viable, sustainable. In this framework, we have the public authority that is represented by the ministry and the regional governments as well. And it is a national instrument. So it's not an investment that has access to rural development programs. And the part that is mentioned here is ensured by a specific tool, which is a loan. And 50% of this loan is guaranteed by Cassa Depositi e Prestiti. 50% is guaranteed by the banking system. The banking system, once the bankability of the initiative is ascertained, it activates the free tool launched by Cassa Depositi e Prestiti. So, you see, this solution was used for supply chain contracts. Basically, these are investment plans in which different subjects invest on the success of the supply chain. So this financial instrument is particularly appreciated. And so this is the reason why we are currently thinking to extend this financial instrument also to other investments, those investments co-funded by the EAFRD, because it is giving very good results. So at the moment, we are just speaking about this, thinking about this. So we want to reconcile a part funded by the EAFRD, a part funded at the national level, state aid. So it is a mix of different interventions which might simplify the credit system. So the banking system might be better connected with the public authorities and the managing authorities, which made choices when it comes to funding these investments included in the rural development programs. Thank you very much. Silvia, I don't know if you want to add anything to this. Yes, from the regulatory viewpoint, I can add something. If we consider the rules, because I see that the question is also about the rules. So during this transition period, we can introduce new financial instruments. And in this case, we can keep using the existing ones. During the transient period, we will continue like this, and then we will see what happens over the next 3 years. Then, from the moment this happens, it will be possible to use new financial instruments. And then there is the question of continuity. We will see whether it is possible to keep using the current financial instruments during the next period, according to the agreement that is the very basis of the financial instrument plan. But of course, it will be an opportunity to also see what the new rules actually establish. Unfortunately, the audio of the lady is very bad. Mr. Amassari, a question for you. In the current programming planning period, you actually mentioned this in your contribution, but anyway, what is it that can be improved? What is it that does not worked properly in the current financial instruments? What are the measures that can be implemented in order to improve the functioning of the financial instruments in the agricultural sector?
Well, in a nutshell, in financial instruments, we must invest money. As simple as that. We need to invest money because they are seen as new instruments. So indeed, there is almost like a communication problem, or upstream, I would say, cultural and communication issue there. There is a limited communication to management authority, between management authorities and banks. And within the regional administration, there are skills and know-hows that need to be developed. So we would need to dedicate some staff to the entire, let's say, credit or loan topic or subject involving paying agencies. So the decision-making public pipeline, let's say, right now, it is not being truly appreciated in order to support a massive introduction of financial instruments within rural development programs. Therefore, then of course we have this traditional trend on the part of farming enterprises to resort to the usual contributions to basically finance their investments. So on the one hand, we should invest on greater resources that are dedicated to financial instruments. Also, I would say that the gamut, I say the range of financial instruments, and this in turn should have, should be disseminated through also adequate consultancy services. We should devise financial instruments related to the needs of local farming enterprises with asset use and management functions that should be more easily communicated and made more easily available in terms of information for beneficiaries so that they can realize that they have to basically resort to the consultant or the competent authority to access these tools. In this way, they can become aware of the alternative options that are out there compared to the typical, let's say, traditional call kind of format. Thank you. A question for you, Mr. Blasi. Rural development measures can coexist with the ones that can be managed by regions.
That's a million-dollar question, but of course, they will have to coexist. In fact, on the basis of the regulatory principles which we normally use and which we normally follow, we know that investments for farming enterprises have always been issued according to the rules established by regional governments. I mentioned before the possibility to extend this system to the co-funded instruments. But of course, these are two things that can be very well integrated, because of course the part of grants would be allocated by the regional governments, while the other part would be allocated by the state. So of course we cannot go beyond the maximum amount established according to the rural development program. So the part of interest concerning the package that I mentioned before, that is the supply chain contracts, only takes up about 4 to 5% of the equivalent amount, which means that if the farming enterprise chooses this financial instrument, the maximum contribution will be 50% less than the maximum amount established by the regulation, because 5% has to be allocated to the interest payment. So this is something that has to be established, but when it comes to the regulation, I think that one is co-funded, the other one is grants, so they are absolutely compatible. Thank you very much. There is a question from the Tuscany region. The guarantee issued by Cassa Depositi e Prestiti, how can it be reconciled with the block grants? Well, this is in line with what I said before. If we decide to set up this instrument and to refer to a part that is in interest account, well, we know that the problem has always been that the part related to interest cannot be reconciled with the programming of rural development, and this is the problem. In this case, it is necessary to come up with a new procedure, basically state aid or grants, which is not correlated with the very specific and rigid programming of the EU planning. So the first part would be in the hands of the EAFRD, while the interest account within the limits established by the EU regulations in terms of gross grant subsidy would be reconciled, as I said before. So basically, we need to set up this package so that the farming enterprises, through the involvement of the bank and Cassa Depositi e Prestiti, can actually refer to such a financial instrument. Thank you very much. There is another question, a question which is not really a question. The question states whether this is something that can be done also in terms of investments. We need specific financial instruments together with the amounts established by the European Commission, with very specific characteristics, for instance, longer amortization period and pre-amortization of 3 to 5 years, during which the investment should start generating financial and economic return. This is valid especially for young farmers who do not have sufficient guarantee and no first pillar guarantee for the banks or as a tool to support liquidity or cash flow. Do you think this is something that can be done? What do you think? Do you want to try and answer this question? Yes. As I said before, in 2016, there was a convention between the Italian Banking Association and the Italian Ministry with the participation of many banks. At that time, we came to an agreement. Now, of course, we have also to consider the situation at the regional level. As you all know, in Italy, we have a system that is quite diversified. We have the national paying agency for 12 regions, and then we have 8, 9 other paying agencies for the other Italian regions. So it's up to them to decide. But anyway, the agreement we concluded in 2016 was such that the producer issues a guarantee to the credit system, and this is based on the portfolio of the company, of the farm. And this is a topic that will be the subject of much discussion. So we are not sure whether this is something that will be valid in the future as well. But what we can say is that the credit that the producer has in terms of basic payment and greening quota can be offered as a guarantee in order to receive an advance payment, or it can be used in order to make the initiative more bankable if it is necessary to cover the private portion of the investment. So this was the convention I mentioned before, which was concluded in order to stress the importance of the credit to be given to farmers. Now, this is something that is still there, even if it has not been mentioned sufficiently. I have to say, it's not been used very much, but of course, this is something that can be used. Thank you very much. There is also a comment. It's not a question, it's a comment. I'm going to read it. It is necessary to reduce red tape and simplify the procedures so that the funds can be delivered to the farming enterprises the sooner the better. We want to stress that farmers have never stopped working during the COVID-19 pandemic in order to guarantee food production. But many agricultural enterprises, especially the ones working in the catering and restaurant fields, recorded a dramatic reduction in their turnover with a reduced capacity to make investments. I don't know if you want to make a comment on this. Dr. Amassari?
Well, what is the main problem here is that we have instruments and procedures that are quite stilted, crystallized, and regulated, especially in this programming phase. Since I'm in the front line, also considering AGEA and regional development programs, I do appreciate the difficulties that are out there. And this situation was a little bit like business as usual. And this was disrupted suddenly by an unexpected storm. It's difficult to reorganize the bureaucracy, the pipeline, that is basically focused on a specific goal, which is that of ensuring, guaranteeing the certainty of public financing, traceability also. It is difficult to readjust all this in a short time because of an emergency. That's the point. And we see this happening every day. We see this with the difficulties that businesses are going through. Also regional, rural development programs to resist and just keep going despite everything during the pandemic, and ensuring anyhow the fulfillment of all obligations, the fulfillment of all the requirements that beneficiaries should have in order to access funding, financing. And this situation, which had existed for a long time, has been completely upended. Some margins of flexibility have been provided, but the system cannot just be changed overnight quickly. Also, considering the major impact that COVID had, this is a system that's not easy to change, because this also has an impact on responsibilities and skills that have been assigned for a long time and they are well defined. This is the basic problem. We should perhaps be more impactful on specific situations and faster. The HoReCa sector has been devastated, that's true. So on our part, we have also put forward some measures, like Measure 21, the way it was managed in our country. That was very interesting, the activity that was conducted by the network and by the ministry in order to introduce a common template for measures that could be used by regions. Indeed, this is an important experience also for the future. So with a broad brush, I can say that it's difficult to revolutionize such a complex administrative system, even in case of an emergency. Thank you so much. Thank you. I would like to thank you all. Well, maybe we will then elaborate on the specific points in the next panel when we consider the impact of the pandemic. But in the meantime, I would like to thank Mr. Michelini, Mr. Blasi, Mr. Ammassari for their comments and for having participated in this panel. Thank you.